So, did you think about it? Got an answer? Okay. Kind of simplifying that picture, it's almost like this. Your person just lost a job, almost losing your house, and you meet this somebody who may have all the power to help you. So what do you expect? Well, if you're in that situation, maybe a job, maybe money, then this person comes to you saying, you need to change your perspective. Maybe you can still find happiness and joy in your life. Well, I just lost my job. I'm losing my house. Does that really work? It's kind of easy thing to say or hear in a story, but if it actually happened to us, it's something that's probably really hard to even have that as an option, that maybe even still in this situation, I can find some joy. Is it possible? Probably. Now, if that's something that's possible to reach there, then you need to have certain understanding or even belief that life is not about this physical reality or materials. Life is not everything is about what we have, what we own, what we possess, what we lose. Some of you may have read my file and may have read the line that I almost became a monk, Buddhist monk. One thing I liked about, I still like about, is that one of the core of Buddhistic teaching is everything is from your mind. It's work of your mind. What you believe, the way you feel, it's work of your mind. To me, that was like, wow. So if I feel really doomy, that's just work of my mind. So, simply because I feel the world is doomed, that doesn't mean the world is actually doomed. Maybe that's just how I feel. Or even go even further, that even if the world is actually doomed, if I don't accept it as my reality, I still could have peace in my heart. Would that be possible? And answer was yes. Then goes into what's really real. Sounds like Matrix question if you saw the movie. I really liked the first one though. Yeah, it had a lot in it. I saw it like 20 times. But anyhow, think about it really. What's really real? Is it real because this Bible real because you can see it? Or is it because it's actually real? Or you didn't see it at all. Maybe tomorrow you talk about with your friend who was sitting here, and you're dead sure that I was holding a Bible in the hand, and your friend said, no, he wasn't. Now, which one's really real? Buddha, when he was about probably 28, 29 years old, he decided to live for the pursuit of this spiritual cultivation. And in the very evening, he didn't pack, but let's say he packed his bag to leave. His son was born that very evening. And he was stopping by his son, looking at him on his way out of his house or palace. You know what he said? He said one word and he left. Impermanent. That's kind of key in Buddhistic teaching too. Everything is impermanent. Anything that is related to us, any perception we have, anything that we feel as real is impermanent. So what is permanent? What is unchanging? What is fundamental? What is really, really, really real? That was the pursuit of Buddha. And in his enlightenment, we're living in the world of illusion that our mind conditioned and created, and even sometimes spice it up too, because we like that. And if you hear relationship problems, I counseled about 70, 80 couples, and even divorced maybe 10 couples. Any conflict that you can have between anybody, mostly it's based on either false expectation or wrong assumption. You assume something. Like there's a word called prejudices. Like ancient times, let's say ancient times, East and West are so same. In the Eastern mythology, in Chinese mythology, written like 3,500 years ago, you guys are all ghosts. Like blonde hair, blue hair, I mean red hair, blue eye people coming and stealing our children and eating them. That's in our mythology. And you have the same thing on the West, right? Those dark haired, dark eyed, weird looking monsters stealing your children and eating them. I don't know why they always put children, but that's how they do it. Right? Why? It's called a false assumption. It's a prejudice. And we don't bother really to check that out a lot of times. When was the last time you actually bothered yourself to check out any false assumption or any wrong expectation you might have or somebody else might have of you? Why am I telling all this when today's teaching is about the teaching of rebirth? That's everything is about. Jesus was saying to this person, Nicodemus, he was a Pharisee. You know what Pharisee is in this time, New Testament time? They are the ones who believe to be the most faithful. The word Pharisee may come from Hebrew word meaning to set apart. To set apart means you want to be more pure regarding your religion. And when you call yourself Pharisee, you're most likely somewhat well-educated person. And this person comes to Jesus and saying, how do you call Jesus? Rabbi. Now, there's many debates as far as what happened, what it is about the past. But calling Rabbi, that may mean Jesus also was one of Pharisee, well educated. Anyhow, he comes and asks this somewhat way gives compliment to Jesus, isn't it? Like saying, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. So was there a question? Not really. Just kind of like, Rabbi, I respect you. And Jesus says, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Does that make any sense to you? Like, you come to your minister, your pastor, and say, Well, I really respect you, and I think you got something good in saying, very truly I tell you, no one can come into the kingdom of God unless you're born again. In a way, the way Jesus is answering or replying to those persons is he almost has automatic perception on what they have, what they really mostly needed. And this born again somehow, a lot of times I hear about it and either people understand it as somewhat dramatic spiritual experience you have at a worship service and that changes you and that you're born again. Or when I was young, I was going to Korean Presbyterian Church, and according to that church's standard, I was born again when I was 14 years old. That's so 1984, I think it was April, somewhere around 13th, 14th. That's the day I was saved. That's how some people apply. But if you actually read John, and what Jesus is saying about that is we have to be born again by water and spirit. By water and spirit. Somehow water comes back to you, doesn't it? There's a baptism. There was wedding at Cana that Jesus turned water into wine. And now, in here, saying that you have to be somehow born of water, too. What's water? Thank you. Truth. Yes. So, do you know the truth? Or, well, that's too big of a question. Do you know a truth? Do you know a truth? Okay, not sure. Yes, good. A truth. What's a truth? What's the truth in this spiritual cultivation? Truth is light. Truth is the force that purifies us. Truth is something that shows us direction that we haven't been before. Truth is that shows us the reality as it is. So there are so many of those enlightened people. The word even enlightened. You are enlightened. In Asia, there is this same word, exact phrase is, my eyes were opened. Does that mean their eyes were closed before? No. But somehow they say, my eyes are opened. I have opened eyes. Or I experienced opened eye. What is this rebirth? Born again. It's something about changing. But it's not just about changing. It's about perceiving a different reality. Or same reality in a different way. The world will be, world was, is, will be with or without us. We're kind of past buyers, travelers in this world. Now, in this pass by time, what we need to achieve at the most from all religion, including this one, is to develop our mind, to cultivate it enough to perceive the reality that is deeper, truer than the ones that is automatically attached to our bio-organic body. In a way, that's where our limit is. Because unless I show this Bible to you, it's not real. But somehow, if I put it away here, and I said, let's imagine the Bible here. You can do it. Why? Because you saw it. That's what Jesus is telling. There are many things happen in our life, concrete, like really real. Yet, we have seen them, experienced them, but we don't process them. And yet, we somehow believe that we can process something that's of heaven. And what Jesus is telling us is, no, it's not possible. That's why water and spirit. Water is truth, but truth that relate to us in this dimension, in this life. And water also is something that has to do with our life itself. Like managing your time, prioritizing your life, what's more important, what's not. You can do that. You have choice to do that. When that happens, something more important inside will happen. That one will happen by God. The other one, by your choice. So what Jesus is really telling this Nicodemus is, you know everything about to make yourself right, yet you claim that you do not know what's wrong with you. That's the answer. And if you do that, if you do what you believe and know to be right, there will be other parts that I could just bless upon you. If you really read this story, that's what Jesus is telling. So this rebirth is on two-dimensional work. One, we have to make the change. The next, God will make the change. And when that happens, that's the amazing part of wow. Or the everlasting life is not just about immortality. It's about somewhat tapping into something that's permanent. 2,500 years ago, that was what Buddha was seeking. Gautama Siddhartha, the prince, was born to be either great king or great wise sage. But he wanted to have the truth. He wanted to tap into something permanent. And in a way, this is the door that Jesus is like opening and inviting you. This is the way. So, may the Lord bless you all in choosing and doing what you believe to be right, starting today. Amen.